listening to Phillies Full Count, the podcast that lists the greatest Phillies of all time by the numbers. Each week, this show will select the finest Phillies player in the history of the franchise to have worn each jersey number. Statistics, trivia, and histories of some of the most legendary men to ever don a Phillies uniform, from Whitey to the Wild Thing, and everyone in between. Now, here's the host of Phillies Full Count, Dave.
I want you to do the intro.
No. You're the intro guy.
No.
I'm not doing it. Only you will do intros.
You're the most difficult co-host I've ever had.
I know that. But he doesn't cut all that burping.
Okay. You're a prima donna. You know that?
No. Just you do the intro.
You
I'm with do you the do intro.
Teenagers. Hello and welcome back to Phillies Full Count. My name is Dave. I'm here with my wonderful, wonderful son who I'm learning is really the most difficult co-host I think I've ever had to work with on a podcast. Jack.
Worse than Tim?
That was good. That was good. You've redeemed yourself.
There we go.
Now you're not the most difficult. So, number seven is going to be... This is going to be tricky because you had even mentioned in what you know about Phillies history that there aren't really any standout sevens. And it's kind of strange because that's a number that...
Only pretty popular.
It's a popular number. Everybody's like they're lucky number seven. Like, yeah, that happens a lot. I know when you're playing Little League, you always wanted number seven. All the kids want number seven.
Yeah, and I don't care about that anymore.
No, but you did. I was like, why do you want number seven? What's so great about number seven? It's a lot of people's lucky number.
Yeah.
For the Phillies, as old a franchise as they are, to not really have a good number seven is kind of strange.
They have a few okay people.
They don't. This is lame. This is the worst number other than zero. All right, I'm going to go through them. So we got some honorable mentions. And I'm telling you, the guy we're picking, kind of lame.
Who did you pick?
Just sit back and relax.
Right.
It's me telling you these stories, not you reading over my shoulder. How is that entertaining to listen to?
All right.
See?
Go.
This is why you're difficult. Prima donna. Always hiding in your dressing room. I went M&M's with only blue and green. Right?
Who says that?
You.
No, I don't.
You are a prima donna.
Speak.
Perrier water.
Talk. It's supposed to be a baseball show.
Okay. Phillies went through a lot of this in their lives where they've had brothers of great major league players. They always end up getting the wrong brother. And one of those was number seven. I say the name DiMaggio to you. What do you think?
Joe, but there's lots of others. He has two brothers.
Yeah, he has Dom,
and then there's...
Vince. So the Phillies had in 1945. They did not have Joe. They had Vince.
Dom was better than Vince, though.
Dom DiMaggio wasn't too bad. Vince DiMaggio, okay. Forget about it. The Phillies also had players like Ken Brett.
George Brett's brother.
They had Mike Maddux.
Gary Maddux's brother.
No, Maddux, UX. Not Greg Maddux, but Mike Maddux. Oh. Another number seven, Jeremy Giambi. Not Jason Giambi. So both of these guys, Jeremy Giambi in 2002, were number seven. So the Phillies have kind of this stigma to me of getting the wrong brother. This one's interesting. I say this name to you. I think you're going to recognize it. And if you don't, you will when I start telling the story. Does the name Ben Chapman mean anything to you?
The coach of the 47 Phillies team.
Okay. You're good.
Yes. The racist coach.
The racist coach. Ben Chapman was a player manager for the Phillies.
Oh, he played too?
He was a player manager in 1946, so that's why I'm listing him as a player. And then he was the manager. Now, my son, your birthday.
Yes.
Is April 15th.
The first day Jackie Robinson played in the major leagues.
Right. And for some reason or another, you've always kind of been a mini Jackie Robinson historian.
Yeah, I like learning about him. So I like the movie 42. And So that's why I know about Ventana. That was not on April 15th, though, like when he played him. But
that wasn't on April 15th. But the Phillies, unfortunately, will always go down in history as
the most racist team.
One of the most racist teams in baseball, the last team to integrate.
And anti-Semitic.
There you go.
Thank you, Connie Mack.
No. So
why do we always have to get the bad people, the racist people, the anti-Semitic? We don't want those people.
Well,
we want people that accept black and Jewish people.
All right.
We want people that accept them.
Listen to you.
I'm Jack Fox, and I will run for president.
As I was just about to say, you sound like you're running for office. So Ben Chapman, I think, ushered in a lot of that, like the idea that the Phillies were one of the last teams to integrate. It wasn't helped by this really, really racist idiot, Ben Chapman, played really well by Alan Tudyk in the movie 42. Mm-hmm. If you haven't seen 42, there's some schmaltzy things about 42. It's a good movie in general. Alan Tudyk is killer in that movie as Ben Chapman. Ben Chapman instructed his pitchers, if they got to 3-0 on Jackie Robinson, to just bean him. Like, just hit him and hit him in the head. Like, this is the kind of behavior that Ben Chapman was promoting. The famous scene in the movie 42 where they posed this photograph of Ben Chapman and Jackie Robinson, that was a real thing. Ben Chapman later in his life kind of lessened his stance on that, kind of still stuck to his guns. I saw some quotes from Ben Chapman saying that his children were not raised that way, and he kind of wanted people to give him the benefit of the doubt in that way. But this guy's going to go down in history as the racist coach of the Phillies who wore number 7.
And then they had the anti-Semitic owner. Was he the owner or was he the manager?
Connie Mack was the owner and manager. Connie Mack also
is
not a great
idiot.
Guy.
No,
so,
he's awful.
So number 7, former coach Bobby Wine wore number 7. And he was a Phillies coach for a long time. Now, I'm sure you don't know who this guy is, do you?
No.
Okay. He was an okay player. He had no power. And he was kind of a jokester. There was a story that I read that he would always hold over Richie Ashburn, that he had one more home run than Richie Ashburn did in his career. Now, this wasn't a big deal because Bobby Wine had 30 career home runs to Richie Ashburn's 29. But that
Richie Ashburn was not a home run.
Yeah. No, well, no, that was Bobby Wine. But he was a Phillies coach for a long time, including most of their heyday in the late 70s and early 80s. Was even rumored to get the managerial job, but Dallas Green got in instead. But I guess he was a pretty good infielder. There was a story about he was a second baseman or shortstop. He did the hidden ball trick and got away with it on Willie Mays once again. His grandson was drafted by the Phillies not that long ago. Sometimes that happens. I think they, as a courtesy to a guy, they'll draft someone in their family and get them in the minor leagues as kind of a courtesy to them. So I don't know if this Wine grandson is still in the Phillies organization, but it's worth a mention. So, but like I said, this is not a great number. And the guy that I'm putting forth as the greatest Phillies player to ever wear number 7 is not a guy who I even consider a great Philly or one for very long, but it's a guy named Mariano Duncan. Do you know who this is?
No.
He was on the Phillies 93 team when they went to the World Series. He played for the Phillies from 92 to 95. Not great. I mean, he was a platoon player. He platooned. This is kind of interesting. He platooned at second and short with Kevin Stocker and Mickey Morandini.
What do you mean by platoon player?
Didn't play every day.
Oh.
Like he'd play against certain handed pitchers and stuff like that. That's how lame number 7 is. His crowning year would have been 1994. He was an all-star. He hit .274 that year. He hit .345 in the World Series for the Phillies in 93. That's an achievement. Those are the things that I put him up here for. He later won a World Series with the Reds and then later with the Yankees. He's a three-time World Series winner, not with the Phillies. But that's about it. This is
another person I'm thinking of. There's a Pedro Feliz.
Go ahead, tell me about him.
Pedro Feliz, he was the third baseman. Well, because the Phillies never had a long time third baseman, but the 2008 third baseman, he won the World Series ring with them. He was he was average, but like there was nothing special about him.
He was a good fielder.
He bat like eighth or seventh, right?
When they needed someone to lock down that position, he was a good member of a World Series team. He had the winning RBI in Game 5 of the World Series, the clinching game, the one that knocked in Eric Bruntlett. He ended up playing for the Camden River Sharks in this independent league after his career was over, which isn't too far away from where we live here. It's a nice stadium, Campbell's Field, right on the on the river there, on the Delaware River, under the Ben Franklin Bridge, if you're in that area. Not that you want to spend a whole lot of time in Camden, but if you do, it's not a bad place to see a ball game. And he played there as well. So, yeah, he played for the Phillies from 08, in 08 and 09. He wasn't here long.
Oh, Polanco wasn't there in 09 yet? He came back in 2010? Not 2010. He came back in 2010.
2010.
2010.
I like that.
Came back in 2010, right?
Who's the current? You wanted to mention this.
Michael Franco.
So maybe one day the show is redone by you and your son. You'll be able to say, we finally have a legitimate number 7 greatest Philly of all time, because Michael Franco is the only hope at the Phillies at this point, other than a few pitchers, and he's doing pretty well now. He's fun to watch.
He still makes a lot of errors now. He's young.
That's all right. I mean, maybe one day he will be rightfully the greatest number 7 of all time, but I'm putting him up there as the greatest number 7 in Phillies history, and not a good one. Number 7, Mariano Duncan. I knew this was going to happen on this show. I didn't think it would happen with a number.
Number 83.
Yeah. I didn't know it would happen with a number that's so... I don't know, prolific in not only sports, but life. Mariano Duncan's your greatest Philly, in my humble opinion.
Should do like football number 7s. I think you got a lot there.
There you go. Ron Jaworski is the greatest number 7 in Philadelphia's history, forgetting the sport. How about that? I think if we would put a baseball jersey on Jaws, he could have thrown 7 shutout innings. That's what I'm saying right now. A lot of quarterbacks were former pitchers.
Yeah.
Dan Marino was drafted in the major leagues. So was John Elway. I bet Jaws could have thrown a complete game. What do you think?
I don't know who that is, but okay.
Ron Jaworski?
I've heard of him. I didn't know his nickname of Jaws.
Come on. All right, I'm changing it. It's not Mario Duncan anymore. It's Ron Jaworski. He's the greatest Philly athlete to ever wear the number 7. We're changing the whole show right now because number 7 is so lame. Mariano Duncan. Unbelievable. All right, Jack.
His name isn't even that cool. It's like...
Duncan. He actually coaches now for the Cubs. He coaches the... what are they? Something Beach. Myrtle Beach Pelicans. He's the AAA coach for the Cubs. When he went to the Yankees, I think his greatest claim to fame, and I've heard a lot of people say this, is he was kind of like a role model, kind of a mentor to Derek Jeter.
Oh, well.
So
why was he being role model?
What do you mean?
I was an all-star once.
Well, you don't have to be a great, great player to be able to impart wisdom on people. I read some other stories about
him.
You
should be a role model for him.
He was before Jeter.
I don't care. Derek Jeter is simply a role model for him.
I read some stories about him. There's this book about the 93 Phillies, and he's in there. A lot of those guys were kind of like rough and tumble guys. In fact, the name of the book is like Beards, Beer Bellies, and something or other. And Mariano Duncan was a really flashy guy. He used to get dressed up, and that was like a joke between those guys. He would show up to the flight, and, you know, in this like beautiful suit, and all these guys would stumble in their with their mullets and their beards and stuff like that. But they all got along, and they all
some of them drunk.
Well, probably they made it work. So
extra.
Mariano Duncan is your greatest number 7. So join us next time on Philly's Full Count for
number eight,
and see who the greatest Philly of all time to wear number 8 is. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for listening to Philly's Full Count. Philly's Full Count is not affiliated with nor endorsed by the Philadelphia Phillies or Major League Baseball. All entities are the copyright of Major League Baseball. All rights reserved. This podcast is dedicated to George R. Fox and Harry Callis.
He had high apple pie in the sky. Oh, so when you start to feeling low, instead of letting go, just remember that. Whoop, there goes another rubber tree. Whoop, there goes another rubber tree. Whoop, there goes another rubber tree plant.